Recently, I've been reading a really lovely Christian biography of a strict Baptist pastor called Ben Ramsbottom, who served as a pastor in Luton, I think for 50 years, and was preaching even when he was almost 90. And wow, what a wonderful man of God he seems to have been, and what an amazing pastor. It's been a wonderful book, a testimony of a really faithful Christian, joyfully serving the Lord, written by his son. So I'd recommend it if you want a good Christian biography. But in the book, it says that as a young man, that Ben really loved his cricket, and he was really good at it. So he was asked to play for various teams. But when he was growing more serious in his faith and more serious about the call to ministry, he began to be really troubled about playing cricket. And he started to worry, because it would take up a lot of his Saturdays, that maybe it was wrong for a Christian to play like that. Shouldn't his whole life be devoted to spiritual things? Wasn't he wasting his time by playing on Saturday like that? And he was troubled in his conscience. Maybe he loved cricket too much. Isn't it wrong? Because he wants to love God with all his heart. And so this wonderful brother, he was truly troubled in his conscience about this, and actually made the decision he'd give up cricket altogether and never played again. Now, without passing judgment at all on that particular example, it raises a question. Is it wrong for a Christian to enjoy earthly pleasures like a game of cricket, or a glass of wine, or a beautiful piece of music? As Ecclesiastes has taught us, this world, everything under the sun, is passing away. And our lives are a breath. Remember, that's what vanity means in this book. A breath. You know, we're a gasp. Life is so short. So is it wrong then for Christians to use some of their time enjoying earthly things? Does our devotion to the Lord means we should shun earthly joy? Because we should be absolutely given over to the Lord's work. Is it sinful to go to a party, play games, have good food? Now, actually, many Christians really do wrestle with this as a question. And the specifics of it, whatever that specific enjoyment might be, can differ a lot from Christian to Christian. But many Christians are troubled in their conscience about these kinds of questions. And many non-Christians think that if you're a Christian, you've got to give up all kinds of earthly joys and happiness. That if something's fun, oh no, you can't have that if you're a Christian. And it's got to really be a bit miserable to be a Christian, right? That is honestly what many people think. Now, is that right? Well, this evening I want us to focus on the passage I read, but in particular, verses 6 to 10. Because the word of God gives us a clear answer. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love. Well, if you remember from last week, we're in a section of the book which emphasizes how uncertain life is. None of us know how things are going to work out. Good and bad things happen to us all in ways that we cannot predict and we cannot control. And so instead of trying to control everything, we have to live by faith. We have to trust in the Lord's control. And that's the really wise way to live, to leave the ordering of our lives to him. So that's the context. But in that context, the scripture's telling us, yes, we should enjoy earthly blessings that God gives us. That's wise, that is right, and that is good. To use and enjoy the good gifts that God has put in his creation for us. Now, they have their limits, and they will come to an end. They have their place, and we're not to make too much of them. But as we pass through this very swift breath of a life, the Lord says, have joy, have delight in earthly blessings that he gives us. And really what we're speaking about there then is our Christian freedom. We are free in Christ to enjoy the good things that God gives us. For example, we can enjoy the blessings of good food, things like that. The verses here reminded me of Psalm 104 and verse 15, which says, God gives wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. And so food and things like it that give us strength and comfort and even just taste to enjoy, they're gifts from God to make us happy, to sustain us. And so Christian, you are free to eat your favourite food and enjoy it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let your garment always be white and head lack no oil. So white garments, anointing with oil, that suggests in biblical times a party's going on, a festival, a celebration. This is a time when people have got their best clothes on, their party clothes. They're feasting, they're singing, there's joy. This is people getting all cleaned up, washing themselves with oil, smelling good, and being able to put aside the daily graft and celebrate. You know, think of the great festivals that Israel was commanded to enjoy, like Pentecost. Christian, there are good times and happy times to enjoy. Live joyfully with your wife. It's a good thing to get married. And a life spent together, one man, one woman, in the Lord is meant to be a source of great happiness. And so it's right. Spend time together. Laugh, play, work together, serve one another, care for one another, have fun, and enjoy that gift of life together. Which includes as well, because I know it's something some Christians have a real struggle with, which includes physical affection. And then we're even told, get stuck into our earthly work. Whatever our particular vocation, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Enjoy your work. Do what is fulfilling. And put energy into it. Put your effort into it. Take pleasure in it. And the scripture's affirming it is right and good to enjoy these earthly blessings, because they're gifts from God. And you shouldn't feel shame or guilt or reluctance to enjoy them. Now, of course, they have their limits. Again, in context, Solomon is saying, even though they're great, they're only part of this vain life, this brief breath of a life. They will come to an end. And so we're not to make too much of them. There'll come a time when you have to let go of them. They're not as important as what is eternal. Love for God and walking with God and serving God. And you can't take them with you when you die. So we're not idolizing them. We're not loving them too much. We're not saying we don't want them to come between us and God. We don't want to be unbalanced so that we neglect any of our Christian duties. We're obviously not to overindulge and abuse any gifts God gives us. To be used according to God's laws, regulated by his word. But Christian, you've got a lot of freedom to enjoy the good things of this world. The Apostle Paul says the same truth in a slightly different way in 1 Timothy 4. And it seems that he was writing because there were some teachers in the New Testament church who were trying to say it was wrong for Christians to enjoy some of these things. So Paul says that they are forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And Paul says, every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. And maybe thanksgiving is what it's really all about. How grateful, how thankful we should be every day for creaturely things, earthly things that God gives us. Do we thank him enough? And maybe that's the cure to stop being idols. We should always be thanking God for these things. But honestly, brothers and sisters, lots of Christians do have struggles with this. And wonder if there's earthly pleasures they should shun. And feel guilty if they're enjoying themselves, fear that they're sinning. Sometimes earthly blessings are conflated with what we would call worldly things. What I mean by that is often we say worldliness is the sin of misusing God's gifts, making too much of them, using them sinfully, coveting them. But the danger of misusing his gifts doesn't mean we shouldn't use them at all in the right ways. Sometimes Christians have been badly taught, and certain traditions of the church have different emphases, but have been taught that legitimate activities are sinful. Out of fear, or because they've got negative associations with sinful things, or they've been badly abused, but have denied themselves freedoms which they have in Christ. Sometimes it's, and maybe this is what there's a lot of in evangelical churches, it's just that the teaching's unbalanced. And we focus so much on the dangers of earthly things, and the dangers of idols, and the dangers of working at earthly things too hard, that we just get a bit unbalanced and forget that we're meant to thank God for them, use them and enjoy them. I suspect that lots of Christians go through their whole lives never once hearing a sermon that says their earthly work, their job, is a good thing. It's a good thing that God will have a vocation for them to work hard at. They should work hard at. Or that there are good ways to have fun, and that is pleasing to God. There's a false kind of asceticism that tries to sneak into the church, which its origins are more in Greek and Roman philosophy than the Word of God. So again, you can think of Paul's words in Colossians and chapter 2. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And so Paul's saying, actually, even kind of man-made rules and asceticism doesn't actually help you against sin at all. It doesn't actually deal with the power of the flesh, of our fallenness. And Christianity has often been under attack from Gnosticism, which is a heresy which downplays the goodness of the body, the goodness of creation, the importance of the visible, the physical creation. And it has left a mark in how many Christians think. But the body and creation were made good by God and are designed by God to be used in the right ways. And so this is the emphasis that Solomon's making in Ecclesiastes here. Because our earthly life is short, enjoy these gifts. We should enjoy them because you won't have them in the grave. Live, Christian. Enjoy your work, give your all, enjoy life, because you don't know when this brief breath of a life will be over. So brothers and sisters, I just hope that's a simple but a helpful reminder to be thankful. To be thankful every day for the good gifts God gives us. Food, friendships, marriage, friendships, games, all of course within the bounds of what God's law sets, but enjoy the freedom you have in Christ. There's a line in the movie Chariots of Fire, and I bet you'll think of it before I say it, but I think it really gets it. You know that in the movie, telling the true story of Eric Liddell, he's going to be a missionary. But the way they have it in the movie, his sister is very concerned that he's going to be running in the Olympics. That's going to be a distraction from his service. But he says to her, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Wasn't that the right balance? He knew his purpose, preached the word, but he knew that there were good gifts to enjoy and he could glorify God by enjoying those blessings too. Just one last final point. If you look with me at verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, we have again a lament. about the sinfulness, the corruption of fallen man. Again, Solomon is reminding us of that doctrine of the universal fallenness of man. But, verse 4 says, as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as someone is still alive in this world, there's hope. There's time, there's opportunity. They might repent. They might yet forsake their sin and fear God. And so, as long as someone's alive, it's not too late. And so I think there's a particular application to us when we pray to never give up hope. Perhaps there may be someone whose heart is full of evil, that madness is in their heart, that they are not living for the Lord. But while they're alive, there's hope. And we can pray for the Lord's mercy and seek their salvation. So I would urge us also to pray on for that. And in our prayers also, let's be thankful.